You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 53.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy. Hello and welcome. I am Kimberly Maska, your host of Mindful Marketing, the podcast where today's mind, body, spirit thought leaders discuss the latest strategies to build your business and take the icky out of marketing. Joining us today is Barbara Jean Carey. Barbara has been seen on The Learning Channel, KTLA, Channel 9 News, Bravo, Discovery, and The History Channel. You can also catch her on her web TV show called The Confident Mind on GotWeb TV. Her unique talent as a hypnotherapist, Barbara's vision is to make that her clients lead the life that they deserve of health, wealth, happiness, and success. Barbara, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
Fine, Kimberly. Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. So I love that you're a hypnotherapist and helping people. So how did you end up down that life path to find this calling and make this your business?
You know, it's funny because ever since I was a child, I was always interested in the mind and how we create and how visualization works. And I remember the first time that I actually visualized exactly what it is that I required. And the way that it manifested in my life was step by step of the way that I had visualized it. And again, I was like maybe 12 years old and I was shocked and I thought, wow, this really works. And then as I got older, I thought it works, but there's all these blockages. And why are there blockages? And where did they come from? And where do we start to build these false beliefs in our mind? And I became a spiritual mind practitioner, which I thought was wonderful and great. And it helped people, you know, moving forward in their lives. But you still didn't get to pull the weeds out. You know, pull them out by their roots and kind of replant the flowers. And that's where hypnosis came in. And that's where hypnotherapy came in for me. And I thought, do you know what? This is what I really want to do. I want to go out there and I want to help people. When I'm in my practice, you know, I could only see a certain amount of people every day. And I thought, this is great. I'm helping people. I'm changing people's lives. However, I want to reach the many, not just the few. I want to share all the information that I have with people so that they can live a life of peace, power, and prosperity.
That's fantastic. And that's such a great gift to have to be able to share and get them on the right path.
It is, and it's exciting.
So what was the turning point of saying, okay, I found this calling, I like it, and now let's make it a business? What was the turning point in going down that road?
Well, what happened was that I was asked from a fellow colleague that was a hypnotherapist. This is before I went for continued schooling, becoming a hypnotherapist. And she said to me, would you kind of be like my guinea pig? I know you get migraines, and come up and be my class and I'm going to hypnotize you to help get rid of your migraines. And I went, and I'm not a shy person, and there must have been, you know, about 75 people in the audience. And when she called me up, I stood up and I froze. And this big booming voice comes into my mind, and it said to me, are you kidding me? If you go up there and get rid of your migraines, you will never have alone time. And I thought, what? Like, what? And then I realized that my secondary gain of having a migraine is everyone will leave me alone. Everybody will take my migraines so seriously that they will not bother me and I will have alone time. And I thought, wow. So my subconscious mind is keeping me safe by giving me migraines. And I thought, well, why doesn't it just keep me safe by sending me to a spa? Why is it, you know, giving me migraines? And I worked through that and I realized how powerful that subconscious mind was. And I thought, okay, I'm going to get, you know, more education. I'm going to become certified. I'm going to do it. And literally the day that I graduated was the day that I opened my office.
Wow, that's fantastic. It's amazing though, right, that we have the power of the mind. You created a protective little, an illness to protect you from certain things. And that's incredible what we can do to ourselves.
You know, what I have learned, and when I first learned this, I didn't believe it at first. And Stuart Wilde is a magnificent speaker. He is a great writer. Unfortunately, he passed away about 2 years ago. However, he's amazing. And if any of your listeners want to get his stuff, I would suggest to get it as a book on tape because he is hilarious. But anyway, what I learned from Stuart was that he said that all fears lead to a fear of death. And I thought, no, that's not true. I mean, you know, if you fear that your boyfriend's going to break up with you, like, how does that lead to a fear of death? And then when I started working with my clients and I started learning more and more, I thought, oh, it's so true. It's so true. I'll give you this perfect example. I had a client come in and he had graduated number one in his law school and he could not pass the bar. He had taken it two or three times by the time he came to me and he failed every time. And long story short, what ended up happening was his subconscious mind believed that if he passed the bar, he would get a fabulous job and he would marry a beautiful woman and have wonderful children. And then his wife would cheat on him and he would lose his job because she would take the house and all the money and he would become a fool and he would lose all of his job and he would become homeless and he would starve and he would die.
Wow.
Now, mind you, this is not conscious thinking. This is all the subconscious false beliefs going on. So we had to put him under hypnosis and allow his subconscious mind to believe that if he didn't pass the bar, he would become homeless and he would die, so to speak. I mean, you know, we're not putting negative suggestions in there, but we had to reframe it completely. And the very next time he went in, he passed the bar.
That's fascinating.
It is. You have no idea where all of these false beliefs came from and where the subconscious mind is doing its duty of keeping you alive. So it will do everything and anything to keep you alive.
It's fascinating. We are such powerful beings. We don't even know it half the time.
We don't. You know, I always say to people, I said, think of yourself as the computer and the universe as the World Wide Web. And the universe needs us as much as we need it. So the World Wide Web, with all of its vast information, needs the computer to manifest its information on the computer. So we need the World Wide Web as much as the World Wide Web needs the computer to manifest all of that. And what's interesting is if you go to Google and punch something in, like for example, it'll say, you know, you want to punch in, how do I screw in a light bulb? Google will never say to me, are you kidding me? Really? That's what you're asking for? I don't think so. That's ridiculous. It just accepts whatever you punch in. And not only will it give you the suggestion of how to do that, it gives you pages and pages and pages. It's like the universe. You punch in exactly what it is that you require, and it will give you so many different options. And when you think about it, man who made the computer that has all of this vast knowledge is the universe creating the man who created the computer.
I love it.
So that's how powerful we are.
Fantastic. So now you've been incredibly successful in your practice and you've been all over television. So what are some of the steps that you've taken to market yourself, and maybe what were some of the challenges that other mind, body, spirit entrepreneurs might face in that marketing?
Well, number one is I know a lot of other people that are in my business will say, well, aren't there too many? Aren't there too many people out there? Isn't the market saturated? And I always say, the person or client that you are seeking is seeking you. That means that the two of you are meant to be. That's the connection that you have. And everybody else out there has connections with other people, but there are people that are just meant to see you. So you have to completely eliminate in your mind that there's competition. You just know that you have the gift, you have a service that you're going to offer the world. And the people that are seeking that information are the people that you are seeking. So that's the first thing. The next thing is, depending on what type of business that you have, is, you know, where your office is located. That's, you know, a really big thing. What I learned is that, especially when you're first starting out, instead of going and spending all of this money on rent for an office, is share an office. Share an office with several people. When I first started out, we had a 3-office suite, and I shared it with several psychologists, psychiatrists. And what we would do is each of us would have certain days. And on the days that we didn't have, we would kind of look in to say, oh, you know, I need to use Wednesdays between 12 and 3. Is that open? And then we would do it that way. And it saved me a bundle. I mean, believe it or not, I started practice in 2006. And believe it or not, at that time, for the shared office rent, and I live in Malibu, and this office was in Malibu, you know, which is high rent here.
Right.
That was $175 a month.
Can't beat that.
Nope. I mean, because we shared it and it worked out perfectly.
That's great advice. And sometimes we forget about that. We just think we think we have to work from home, and not everyone has the right, I don't know, what's the right word? I don't want to say mindset, but right circumstances to work from home. Maybe there's kids, there's dogs, sometimes it's great to go to the office.
Right. And I also believe that we need to kind of keep what I was saying was a one-upsmanship. And a one-upsmanship doesn't mean superiority. What that means is that you know what you're doing and you can help them. And sometimes if someone comes to your home, they're going to have a preconceived judgment of who you are, what your style is, what your taste is, and they can't help but judge that. Whether you have the most fabulous home in the world or if you just have an average home, people tend to judge. They can't help it. And so I just think it's better just to keep it completely separate.
That's great advice. You forget about the judging, but we do it so quickly.
Yes, we do. You know, one time I allowed myself, because I consider myself an extremely non-judgmental person. And however, one day I said to myself, the whole day, I want you to go and I want you to notice what you're judging. And I mean, like, I would look at, let's say, a fence, and I would say, well, that's an ugly fence. That's a judgment. And you don't realize how many things that we judge that we don't realize we're judging throughout the day.
It's amazing, isn't it? When you have that awareness, you're like, wow.
It is. No, it is. It is amazing.
Yeah. And it's always a challenge to get it under control too. Cause you're right. It can be something so simple. It's like, oh, that's ugly. Or, oh, you know, the driver in front of you. Well, that was dumb. And it's like, well, no.
Right. Exactly. Right. According to our beliefs and values, it was dumb.
Yep.
But what about according to his belief and values, you know?
Exactly. So now, who is your ideal client and what works for you in terms of marketing to them?
Well, my ideal client is someone that actually wants to work with me, meaning they go home and do the homework. They go home and do what needs to be done because I see them 1 hour a week. The whole rest of the time, they're with themselves. So it's someone that's going to work with me, that's going to take the tools that I am giving them and using those tools to build a new life. If somebody comes in and, let's say, for example, I've had people say, oh, I'm calling to make an appointment for my niece and I'm going to pay for her and she needs to come in and she needs to see you. And I said, that's fine, but you need to have your niece call me. Hmm. You have to have your niece call me and let me know why she chooses to have hypnotherapy. Because I don't want to waste anyone's money or time or energy if they don't really want to better their lives. It's a waste of their time.
Yeah, because they have to be receptive to it, right? I mean, we all need to be in a space where we're willing to accept what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can tell, you know, some people will come in and say, oh, I want to stop this or I want to stop that. And they clearly don't. And it's not because they're coming in because they're trying to, let's say, get out of the habit of it. They just don't want to do it. Almost like on a subconscious level, I did not want to stop getting migraines.
Right. And we don't know it until we go
deep
down.
Exactly. Right. Right. Exactly.
So how are you marketing to your clients specifically? Are you using social media? Is it word of mouth? What works best for you?
Okay. First of all, when I first started my business, what I would do is I would send out complimentary, I never say free because free just kind of cheapens it, but I would send gift certificates out that I would say, this is a complimentary hypnotherapy session valued at $125. And I would send them out to chiropractors, to doctors, to dentists. And I would say, use this for you or give this to one of your clients or customers or patients as a gift, maybe for Christmas, you know, just as a thank you for your business. And I said, this certificate does not say complimentary on it. It says value $125, but in the letter, it's saying I'm giving this to you complimentary.
Ah.
So this way, I would have people use those gift certificates. And I have to tell you, someone that used it in 2006 is still my client today. And you might say, well, wow, they're still your client. Have their issues not been addressed? What I learned, and this was a very valuable lesson for me, was that I at first thought, okay, get him in and out, in and out, in and out. Meaning, you know, let's get this issue, let's fix it, and let's move on. And I realized that a lot of people want to come in. They want to come in on a weekly basis or maybe every 2 weeks to just kind of check in with themselves, to kind of see what's going on. And I had to allow my clients to have that space to do that. So, you know, I have a couple of clients. My very first client ever still comes to see me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is.
Quite a testament to you and what you do.
So thank you. So one thing that I do is, you know, I sent those out and then I would get referrals from everyone. So all of my referrals would go out there. Or what I would do is I would go to my kids' schools and they would have fundraising events and I would donate a session. And this way, because once they come in and they see what's going on, you end up having them as customers and clients. So another thing that I did was there is an online newspaper called Patch, and AOL owns it. And it's a free newspaper service. And every city across the United States, not every city, but quite a few cities, have a Patch online newspaper. And we have Malibu Patch, and maybe there's Irvine Patch or Calabasas Patch or, you know, Philadelphia Patch. So the way that Patch works is you can write a blog, but it's set up as if it's like an article. And I would end up writing these articles, blogs, on all certain different things about issues that I believe most people had. And the people would read these and they would call me and say, oh my gosh, that's exactly how I felt, or that's what, you know, I do every day, and can you help me? And then when I wrote enough in there, I contacted Malibu Patch, the editor, and I said, hey, I've been blogging for you for quite a while. Why don't you do an interview with me? Why don't you do an interview about what I am about? And then I would get clients that way also.
That's a fantastic piece of advice, because we forget that whole process. That's really great.
And it's, you know, it doesn't cost you anything. And now all of a sudden you're published and you're actually, you know, in, well, at least, you know, Malibu Patch, you know, they have, you know, thousands of subscribers. And although I have clients from everywhere, the Valley and Santa Monica and Palisades, I really focus a lot of my attention in Malibu because, like I said, I live here, I work here, I socialize here. So that one worked really well. The one that where you're sending out to all the dentists and doctors and stuff like that, that works really well. You just want to make sure that the certificate that you're sending them does not say complimentary. It says, you know, value $125 or whatever your value is. And another thing that I do is I opened up an Instagram account. And what I said to myself is, okay, how do I want to serve the world? So first thing that I ask, how may I serve you? And when I say that, I don't mean like, how can I be your slave? What I mean is, what can I do to help you better your life? So what I do is, and my Instagram name is The Confident Mind. That's the name of my business, but that's my username, The Confident Mind. And every day, I would post an inspirational quote with beautiful graphics and let them start their day reading that. And so quickly, I ended up having like over 3,000 followers.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And then on the Instagram account, it will say, you know, this is my website, you know, check me out, whatever. So anybody that wants to have phone sessions, Skype sessions, you know, I have clients that are in Texas and New Jersey and Michigan and England, Italy, because, you know, we're able to connect all over the world now so easily and effortlessly.
It's fantastic, right? We can touch so many more lives with the technology we have today.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. Just amazing.
So what works for you? So other than Instagram, do you have any other social media that you use, or is that really your go-to space?
I have Facebook. However, I noticed that I got much more feedback off of Instagram than I did off of Facebook. I am not on Twitter yet, but I did hear that, you know, that's really good, but I need to learn about that. But Instagram seems to be the way that especially younger kids, and I have a lot of kids that are teens, and the younger kids don't hardly use Facebook anymore. They all use Instagram.
Isn't that funny? That must mean we're getting old. When Facebook's no longer hip.
I know. Believe me. Trust me, my daughter was mortified. My daughter's 14, my son's 16, and she was mortified that I would start an Instagram account. And I said, I promise you, I'm not going to be posting pictures of you guys. This is my business.
It was funny. So now
and then, of course, when I have all of these followers, she's like, give me a shout out.
Send them my way.
Exactly.
So I know you have your book coming out, The Confident Mind. Let's talk about that process. Are you self-publishing, going through a traditional publisher? What's the process for you?
Well, right now I am self-publishing. However, my goal is to go with a bigger publisher. And the reason why I am getting the book and doing the self-publishing for now is because I do a lot of speaking engagements. However, I can market myself to these corporations a lot easier if I am an established author.
Yep.
And it's almost as if they take you more seriously, or it legitimizes you. So I thought, okay, I need to get my book out ASAP, regardless if I get a traditional publisher or not. I just need to be an author of my book. And I'm really, really excited about it. And the book that I have out can literally be used for any type of business, whether it's real estate, whether it's computer, whether it's the fast food business. It doesn't matter. It could even be for Weight Watchers. It could be for any type of business that I can transcribe it, so to speak, into any of my speeches, into targeting exactly the people that are in my audience.
It's fantastic. I always say a book is a big, expensive business card.
Yes, that's very true. And I will tell you, though, it's a lot cheaper than what you think.
Yes.
A fellow hypnotherapist of mine published a book through, I think it's called Create a Space.
Mm-hmm.
And his book was beautiful, and I just devoured it. I loved all of his information that was in there. His name is Ted Marino. And he did it in black and white, and that book cost about maybe $3 a book.
Yeah.
Where my book, because it's in color, every page, you know, is in color, that's like $11 a book. But the truth is, you're not going to make that much money from your books. It's more of that calling card and the more business it can get you. And I mean, unless, of course, it can become a bestseller.
Absolutely.
Which is wonderful and great. However, at least what in my mind, I think, if it's going to become a bestseller, great. But in the meantime, what I'm going to do is use it as a marketing tool for myself.
Absolutely. It's one of the best marketing tools you can have, frankly.
And I'll tell you another thing. The reason why I get on television so often, like Telemundo just came out here. And Telemundo is this, you know, one of the biggest Spanish channels in the world. And they just came out here to do a news piece on me. And basically how I use NLP and how I teach my kids NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, to my kids, and how I have my kids use it in everyday thinking. It was kind of like a parenting news type of segment to teach other parents things that they can do. And I can't tell you how many people out there, how many television stations and shows really, and especially these new shows like Good Morning America or Good Morning LA or whatever it is, they are hungry for new energy. They're hungry for news media things that they can advertise and fill up their space with.
That's something I think, you know, most people forget, that they are looking to us for content. Everybody wants new content, and they're looking everywhere for it.
They are. They really are. So the best thing to do is not say to them, oh, can I please be on your show? Is, hey, look what I have to offer you. Look how I am serving you. Look how I am serving your audience.
Yep. So what is your secret for getting on all your television channels? So you have a secret method that you go about to be able to get on all the different shows?
Well, for instance, what I do is, you know, obviously no matter where I go, no matter where I am, I always develop relationships and contacts with people that will allow me to call them and say, hey, you know, I have this new thing, I have this new technique, I think you'd be interested. Or, you know, like with dentistry and hypnosis, that's when I did with the History Channel on Bravo. They said, hey, we're doing an extreme parenting show. You know, we want to do something with hypnosis. What can you tell us about that? And then like with Telemundo, they happened to see me on Bravo, which did that. And then sometimes I just get approached. Like there is a TV show called Pawn Stars, and it's out of Las Vegas. And I just happened to be there in Las Vegas, and they said, "Hey, you know, do you want to be in this commercial?" You know, so you you end up putting out that energy and putting out that vibe, and people are going to want to contact you. When I did a pilot for MTV, and I did another pilot with Past Life Regression for another production company, they found me on my website. And that is so important. You have to have a website. You have to have your name out there. You have to have content on there where people can actually see who you are, what you've done. They want to listen to any radio shows. Oh, you know, here's another great thing. I don't have the exact email right now. However, you could Google it. But there is this email that you get that is for all the different radio networks. And these radio networks tell this one company, this is what we're looking for. Can you help me find people that would be on our radio show? And I get this email, I'm not sure, maybe every few days, maybe once a week. And I scan it and I say, oh, I fit into this category. They would love to have me on their show. And then I'll contact them. I'll say, check out my website. This is things that I've done before. These are different radio shows. And before I ever even did a radio show, I would say, look, this is the information I would like to share with your clients. And they would call me and they would talk to me on the phone and they'd say, okay, we're a good fit. And then next thing you know, you have that on your resume that you've been on Blog Talk Radio or whatever, you know, station it is.
Yep. It's just, you know, it's just, like you said, it's making the connections and just getting out there, frankly. Sometimes we're afraid to, oh, maybe someone's not going to like what I have to say or what have you, but they are starving for our content.
Do you know that the subconscious mind has three self-limiting beliefs? And you, and anything that you're giving, when I say self-limiting beliefs, it's like you just said, maybe they won't want me. And one of the self-limiting beliefs is, if I try, I will fail. The next one is that I'm not worth it, or I'm not worthy. Or the third one is, no one will want me. And most people fall into one of those three categories. And I do this technique with my clients that allows them to find out which one they fit into. And then we turn around and reframe that. But you are absolutely right, Kimberly. They say, nobody will want me, or again, if I try, I'll fail, or, you know, I'm not worthy of it.
It's amazing how we can prevent ourselves from being successful.
Oh my gosh. We are our own worst enemy. We are the one that stands in our own way.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you're here to help us get through that.
Oh, yes. It's amazing. And what I'm going to start working on also, because YouTube is huge, is putting out some sort of hypnosis technique so people can listen to it and they can kind of get a feel of what I do and how I do it. So this way they can feel comfortable with hiring me to help them.
Yep. And I will let my listeners know, if you do nothing else, do videos and get out there on YouTube. And there's also, it's huge. I mean, it is probably the most important way to get out there.
You know, and where I am on YouTube right now is with, when I was doing The Confident Mind and I was on GotWeb TV, and unfortunately, it was kind of a tragic story, but the owner of the station died suddenly.
Oh, wow.
And their family ended up shutting it down. But most of my YouTube stuff is my GotWeb TV show called The Confident Mind and me being on other people's shows, web shows, as their guest.
Yep. Being a guest, I mean, it goes both ways, right? It's all the networking and getting out there.
Absolutely.
But YouTube is huge. I'm actually putting together a little tiny product that gives some tips on YouTube stuff, because there's some details to do it right that make you go, oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, exactly. Right, exactly. So, right. I mean, the internet is just an amazing source of information. You could literally punch anything in. I'm still in awe of it. Probably because, you know, when I was a kid, they didn't have the internet.
right?
You know, I had to look up the Britannica Encyclopedia.
I remember my grandfather had a whole set, which I have to say I now proudly have in my office. They got handed down to me, and it's the whole set.
You know what? It was like you had to have money to have a whole set of those.
Yeah.
You know, you had to like buy one at a time.
And he used to read them cover to cover. It was the coolest thing ever. He had so much knowledge.
Good for him.
It was fantastic. So speaking of knowledge and books, what books, and it could be a couple because I know people have a hard time narrowing it down to one, but what book is something that's really been transformational in your life that you'd like to share with my readers?
Okay, I am going to beg your readers to get this one book. And not many people know about this book, and because the guy who wrote it, Dr. John Kappas, brilliant. He opened up the Hypnosis Motivational Institute in Tarzana, California. And he wrote a book called Relationship Strategies, the ENP Factor. And when I tell you that every single solitary person is either an E or a P, and I won't get into it that much because you really need to, it's so much. And what happens is every E and P will attract each other. An E always attracts a P always attracts an E, always. But the thing that brings them together, unless you understand what's going on with the E and the P, are the same things that actually tear them apart. And you can stop that by learning all about who you are and who your partner is, or who your children are, or who your parents are, and the relationships that you can flourish because of knowing about this E and P. And you can get it on Amazon, Dr. John Kappas, K-A-P-P-A-S, or you can get it at hypnosis.edu. A book that they should be teaching in schools.
Fantastic.
It's amazing. The other book, and I have literally saved marriages in my practice with the techniques of this book. It's by Dr. Gary Chapman, and it's called The Five Languages of Love.
Oh, I've heard of this. I think he was on Oprah, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And it literally tells you what you believe has to happen in order for you to feel loved. So here's a perfect example. Here's the five, and I'll just go through them quickly. There is physical touch. I mean, hug me, kiss me. That's how I know I'm loved. Quality time, spend time with me, watch TV, go for a walk with me. The third one is acts of service. Do things for me. Go pick up my dry cleaning. Acts of service. The fourth one is words of affirmation. Tell me how wonderful I am. Tell me I can do it. Support me in your verbiage to me. And the last one is receiving gifts. Some people, their love language is when they receive gifts that they feel really loved. Now, if I am a physical touch and I give physical touch because I figure, oh, when someone hugs and kisses me, I feel loved. So I'm going to give that to my kids. I'm going to hug and kiss my kids. I'm going to hug and kiss my husband because I feel loved. But however, what if the husband is an acts of service and he says, well, that's great that you're hugging and kissing me, but I want you to go pick up my dry cleaning. I want you to go fax this for me. That's how I feel loved. And then maybe he'll come home and say, hey, honey, I got your oil changed. I rotated your tires. Look how much I love you. Where the wife could be saying, well, that's great, but hug and kiss me. So you have to find out what your love language is and what your partner's love language is. And especially if you have your children, what your children's love language is.
It's so key. I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, wow.
Oh my gosh. It's okay. So the ENP factor, Dr. John Kappas, the five languages of love. And another one that almost everyone read, but really was life-changing for me, was Eckhart Tolle's A New Earth.
Ah, yes.
And what I tell all of my clients to do is I say, read the chapter and then go on Oprah's website or iTunes. It's free. And listen to Oprah and Eckhart talk about the first chapter. Then read the second chapter. Then go back on and listen to them talk about the second chapter. Because it's 10 chapters and they have like a webinar or even just a podcast of what each chapter is about. So they have 10 podcasts or 10 webinars about that. It's life-changing. It really is life-changing.
It was an amazing book. I know it was life-changing for me as well. Absolutely.
Especially the pain body one. It's like chapter 4 or 5.
Yeah.
That everyone needs to know about the pain body. Just everyone.
I agree 100%. So now looking back on your journey, if you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently knowing what you know now?
I would start public speaking a lot sooner. I would go out to everyone, and whether it's the JCs or the Mommy and Me groups or anything at all, the Optimist Club, anything at all, I would go and do public speaking. Now, I'm very comfortable with public speaking. However, I know a lot of people are not. So there's a wonderful organization called Toastmasters, and they're in most cities. And you go there and they will help you and show you how to do speeches properly, how not to be so nervous. It's a wonderful organization.
It's great, because I know some people, just the idea of getting up in front of a crowd just makes your heart stop.
Right. You know, petrifying. And also let's just say you do Toastmasters and you can't do it and you can't go out there and public speak, then do it at your home on your own, videotape yourself and put it on YouTube.
That's great advice too. Get it out there no matter how, just get it out there.
Right.
So where do you see yourself going next? How are you going to continue to build your platform?
Well, right now I'm in development with a production company for a TV show. That's a reality show. And I can't really get into it yet because of confidentiality clauses. But that is, it's really big and it's going to teach people so many things about themselves. So I'm excited about that. That's what we're working on right now. And the other thing is, once my book comes out, I'm already working on my second book, but once my book comes out, it's going to allow me to establish a bigger clientele with going out there and speaking. And I teach seminars too. I teach seminars, and again, just building my audience, because the more that I build my audience, the more, again, that I can reach the many instead of the few.
Fantastic. I love it. Well, good luck with all of that. And if my listeners wanted to find out more about you and what you do in your hypnotherapy sessions, where would they find you?
Well, my website is theconfidentmind.com. My email is theconfidentmind@aol.com. You can also listen to a quote of the week that is on the telephone number of 323-DOCMIND, D-O-C-M-I-N-D, 323-DOCMIND. And you can listen to a quote of the week. If you want to be inspired daily, you could go on Instagram and go to The Confident Mind username. And I just post once a day, and you can get your daily inspiration through that. And if you go on the web and go on YouTube, you can either punch in Barbara Jean Carey, or you can punch in Barbara Carey, or you can punch in The Confident Mind. And there are certain techniques that I have taught the audience on certain people's shows, on my own show. And it kind of gets you a feel of what I do and how I can help you and how I can help you achieve, you know, the life that you require. And the reason I say require, Kimberly, is because we don't just want air. We require air. And if you say, oh, I want something, it kind of puts it out into the future that the universe is saying, well, they want this, so let's keep them wanting. Instead of requiring, meaning have to have, a necessity. We have to have air. We have to have water. We have to have food. We have to have a successful business.
I love that. I've never heard it phrased that way, and that's fantastic. I require this. Because you're right. We say we want, or I'm going to, or I...
Right, or I need, or, you know, but yeah. No, I require.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, that's important. Our verbiage is very important.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for taking your time and sharing all of your knowledge with us. It was absolutely fantastic.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Again, thank you for having me.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you will find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.